This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the second guest show. Mike DiTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be on until 6:30 tonight. Want to tell everybody at 6 o'clock tonight, you have a choice. On the Big 870, it'll be Pelicans, Atlanta Hawks pregame, tip-off at 6:30, and that'll be on the Big 870. And we're going to go at 6 o'clock to 105.3 FM. So at 6:30, it'll be the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Darren Rizzi will be on. Host will be Mike Haas. Bobby will join him. And his guest tonight will be Assistant Special Teams Coach Phil Galliano. And at 7:30, it will be the Cleveland Browns, Denver Broncos, Sean Payton going up against Jameis Winston. See how that goes tonight. And that will be on 105.3 FM. I want to tell everybody at 4:20, a little after, we'll have on Dr. David Elias from Ortho LA, and he'll explain to us about the injury to Taysom Hill, about the terrible news that ACL, and normally that's an 11-month injury. Now, there is other things involved with it, but that's an 11-12-month injury. Think about that. Taysom will be 35 years old. That could be an entire year gone from Taysom. Just terrible to see it end like that after he had been such a dominant player 2 weeks ago.
Well, we don't have enough players like that. We don't have no explosive players. We have Alvin Kamara, but you need the combination of Taysom Hill. I guess when it rains, it pours. But when I look at Taysom Hill, what he brings to the table, you know why he's going to be motivated to come back in 35 years? Because he has great work ethic, about 10 or 11 million. I don't know about his contract, but the Mormons know money a little bit. I mean, how can it benefit my family? You know, keep playing till they kick you out. So you do the rehab and all that, because Taysom Hill, to me, he's going to work his behind off and he'll be ready to roll. Now, I don't know what level, but you know what's really frustrating when I look at the Saints right now the players that were household names we count on, they all freaking old. Like DeMario Davis, Cam Jordan. Look at Honey Badger. Oh, my shoulder. And he gets hurt. So you just look at the players you're counting on. Do we have any truly, I've said this before in previous shows, young studs? Then McCoy, our young stud, he's not even playing. Even Chris Olave, we want it to be a number one. But is he truly a number one? I think he's a starter.
I think the guy that may well be your stud, Taliase Fuaga.
Yes, and then he gets the damn penalty. We scored a touchdown. Where are you going downfield? We ain't running no damn screen. We'd have been up 10-0. So Fuaga even screwed up on that play. So I don't know. I want to be more optimistic than I actually am right now. The one team that I'm not optimistic, and you know who the Saints are better than? The damn Pelicans. I'm looking at the Pelicans. The Pelicans are like the Wizards. Oh, what are we at right now? Just look. Hey, you know what the Pelicans are like right now? The Giants and the Raiders. I mean, where they're at right now. The Saints, to me, are still kind of middle of the pack. Not great, but not horrendous. I think they're going to compete. They're going to fight hard. But as far as the Pelicans, how are you going to get excited about basketball with that kind of team? We want to cheer for a winner. And you might think the Saints are struggling. Well, damn it, look at the Pelicans, how they started the season.
I don't know how Willie Green survives this.
Yeah, so he's going to be the scapegoat? Who's playing? Who's hurt?
He's going to be the guy.
That's a bunch of BS.
I agree with you, but you can see where this is leading to with that. Bob, I thought yesterday, the biggest thing that jumped out at me, the Saints got beat up in the offensive-defensive lines. The Rams ran at will on this football team.
That didn't surprise me, Mike. The reason why it didn't surprise me, because I said this. Coming into the game, we were giving up 5 yards a run. Well, the Rams got 5.4, so 5.5 yards a run. That didn't surprise me.
No,
we truly stopped the run.
I think we thought maybe the damage would be done by Stafford throwing the ball more than them running. But, man, that 1-2 combination of Kyren Williams and then Blake Corum, a lot of people remember Blake. He was the running back at Michigan the last couple of years. Man, they threw all these 5-star recruits at him. Man, he put him on the bench. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but, man, he's a tough guy. Same thing as Kyren Williams at Notre Dame.
Well, I don't know. I look at Kyren Williams, Mike. He had 104 yards rushing last season. He had 104 this season. He averaged 7 yards a carry. I don't know if we stopped him. They kind of felt us out in the first half.
And that was the big surprise. I thought the Rams would have much more offensive firepower in the first half. They seemed to not connect on anything. But, boy, did they crank it up in the second half against the Saints, both running and also throwing the football.
Well, and if you look at where, where the Rams are at, now this is amazing to me. Because Sean McVay, when he's played against, the Saints, he's had their number. I mean, when he's been the head coach overall, and overall the Rams have had our number in New Orleans. But the one thing, look, the Saints shut out the Rams in the first half yesterday. It was only the second time in Sean McVay's era that they've been shut out in the first half. You know, in the last time?
Was it Super Bowl?
The damn Super Bowl against the Patriots. Remember, it was 13-3, one of the most boring Super Bowls ever. So when I look at how everything transpired, but the thing that caught my attention, because we were good in these areas, but not so much yesterday, was like red zone offense and red zone defense. So you look at, can you force field goal? This is getting the red zone. Can you get a touchdown, or can you stop your opponent from getting a touchdown? If you look at red zone efficiency as far as getting touchdowns, we were right at 62%. Mike, that was seventh best. Say, can you be in the top 10? Well, yesterday we were 0-2. And then you look at our red zone defense. Red zone defense, we were number 6, only giving up 47%. With the damn Rams, were 100%.
Yep.
3-3. So you look at the final score, that's what happened. Deuce, we were talking about this in like the post game and all. No. Okay, what occurs in the red zone? Offensive or defensively? And that's where the game was lost. And to me, that was the difference. And then I'm going to ask Coach Rizzi this. We have been terrible on third down offense. You know, we saw Spall with Drew Brees and all that, and I've been part of a team that led the NFL on third down conversions at 48.5%. We came into the game at 36.5%, I should say, no, we were 39% conversion, that being the offense. Well, you look, yesterday we were 33%. No, when you got to make a first down, sustained drives, and we still won the time of possession, Mike, by 5 minutes. You know, because the first half was so dominant.
Yep. And but, you couldn't score touchdowns.
Yeah.
You ended up with field goals and a missed field goal.
Well, we ran the ball well enough. We had 31 rushing attempts. We averaged 4.6 yards a carry.
I'll take that.
Very similar to what Saquon Barkley and the Eagles did against that Rams defense. But you can't give up 5.5 yards a pop. But I was shocked when the game was all said and done. Like, at least you see a fumble or interception. There were zero turnovers. So we still plus two for the season, but the Rams are plus three.
Yeah.
It's amazing there was no fumbles or interceptions. You know why we had a chance the first time we played the Eagles? Then we take away the ball three times?
Yep.
I still don't know how we lost that game.
The other thing, too, is if you watch that game, and I flipped it on before I had to come back, come here, man, Jared Verse. Oh, my God.
From Florida State, yeah.
Man, did he come off the snap every play. He gave Trevor Penning a lot of trouble. But on the last play, he was up against Foster Morrow. Man, he caught him off the edge. And Derek was trying to find an open man down.
Yeah, going through his progression.
And he couldn't find it. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We'll have on Dr. David Elias from Martha OLA. Give us a little insights on that ACL injury that occurred to Taysom Hill. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to the Second Guest Show. Mike D'Antilia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. On our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talk and text line from Arthur LA is Dr. David Elias. David always gives us, man, right on the mark of information when something happens to a player, to rehab, how long it'll take. Dave, thanks so much for coming on a kind of short notice with you. But I remember you always telling me, an ACL injury, that's basically 11-month rehab. Now, we don't know the other part of something being wrong with the knee, but I always remember you saying, ACL, that's basically a 1 year, you're not going to come back.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, we used to get our – I've been doing this close to 20 years now, over 20 with residency, and, you know, we used to – try to get people back, tell them 6 to 9 months, and we were seeing a lot of recurrent injuries. So that what we realized is that the knee is just not ready. It's not rehab to go back to that level. And typically now I'll tell even my Nichols athletes, you know, it's 9 to 12 month recovery. Now, a lot of that has to do with, you know, the type of rehab you're getting. And, you know, of course, you know, a professional athlete, this is their job to recover. So if anybody's going to come back before 12 months, it's going to be a professional athlete.
Or Taysom Hill.
Especially Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you that because if you look at it, he's off the chart how strong he is in all his body parts, from head to toe. I mean, he's an alpha. I mean, he's like off the chart. How are you going to chart him, how strong he is in the weight room, and what he actually can accomplish? So, you know, you have different workouts for different positions. You know, here's the defensive backs, offensive line. Well, Taysom Hill, that's why I wouldn't bet against Taysom Hill. Now, I don't know how you compensate him in the future, but, I don't think Taysom Hill's giving up the ghost because he has a bunch of kids. He wants to provide for his family. And, you got to get to the I wish I would have milked it. Right, instead of my elbow was all shot, and that play an extra year, and that
just you could have went to the Panthers.
Just keep
they'd have hated you there. Too.
Just keep playing until they kick you out, and I think Taysom Hill might do that because I think he wants what's best for his family. So people think like, oh, Taysom Hill is going to fade off into the sunset.
No,
I don't think he's that type of player.
Doc, you've worked with a lot of professional athletes, and their work ethic, a lot of times that's a lot different than the normal human because
right.
They understand what's at stake. They're not going to get paid like this in the real world. Bobby always has the best comment. The real world sucks when you talk about getting paid. You get paid to be a professional athlete. That's why these guys really push the envelope on how quickly they can come back from these serious injuries.
Yeah, I mean, with an ACL injury, you know, typically 50% of the time, you're also injuring another structure in the knee, whether it be the meniscus, whether you chip off a piece of cartilage or you tear another ligament. So that can also have a difference in your outcome. You know, if it's an isolated ACL tear is way better than an ACL tear with an MCL tear and a meniscus tear along with it. So I think that has a lot to do with it. But there's no doubt that he's going into this injury in better shape than 99% of the people who tear their ACL. So that will definitely help his recovery. When you tear your ACL though, you know, it's a big hit to your body. You know, his quads are going to atrophy from surgery, from being off of it. If he has other injuries, he might be non-weight bearing for a short period of time after surgery. And then, you know, when you recover, you have to steal from Peter to pay Paul. So you don't just repair the ACL. You have to now go make him a new ACL. So they'll probably use his patella tendon or his quad. So you get a little bit of morbidity from that too. So the recovery is, there's a lot to recover from. And, you know, your nerves that in the knee that help with balance, help with agility, all of that has to kind of, you have to re-educate that. So it's, being strong helps, but there's other factors that go into it. And I wouldn't have any doubt that by next season, he's going to be at fall camp. And I think he'll probably, if he's not quite ready at the beginning of the year, I think he'll be close. You look at Joe Burrow, he tore his ACL and he had a multi-ligament injury. He had meniscus. I was pretty shocked that he made it back as quick as he did. I always said he won't be back till the end of that year and won't be performing well till the second year. And, you know, he proved most of the people wrong with that. You also look at Adrian Peterson, you know, he tore his ACL and his very next year, he was a few yards short of breaking the all-time record. So I think that's what category I would put this injury for Taysom Hill. I think he'll be back next year and I don't think this is a career-ending injury for him. And like you guys said, the shape that he's in going into this injury is going to definitely help him recover from this injury.
When you even look at Passanio, Tano, he had the Achilles, and Mike, how he's come back. That's why you can't look at normal society versus a professional athlete in the NFL. And then how you recover. Now, you got to have the right mindset. You got to have the right work ethic to be able to come back. And I think Taysom Hill will definitely have that. Now, I would bank more on Taysom Hill being ready to roll in the future than Honey Badger. You know, Tyrann Mathieu, I'm looking at him now. It's different injuries. You got Taysom Hill with his knee. And then you got Honey Badger injured his right shoulder, making a tackle on Ryan's the running back Kyren Williams. And you can see now I just think where they're at, and I'm not saying Honey Badger couldn't come back, but I would if I'm gonna bet, I would bet more Taysom Hill coming back than Honey Badger from now. It's different injuries, a knee and a shoulder, but. When you look at it, when you get 34, 35 years of age, that's an old football player. It's not old in life, but it's an old professional football player. I just think Taysom, like you said, how he's trained and where he's at, I still think he's going to contribute in the future.
Doc, the other thing I was going to ask you, I think I know the answer to this. Had this happened to a 25-year-old instead of a 34 and going to be a 35-year-old, would the process be a little quicker for the 25 than the 35?
And you know, like Mike saying, let me tell you right now. Okay, Nick Saldivari, we want him to do something. He left the game with a knee injury. Who do you trust, Taysom Hill or Nick Saldivari?
I got my money on Taysom.
Yes. I mean, I don't care. He might be 10 years younger or whatever. You have to look at the mind of the individual you're dealing with also.
Doctor, age of someone. I know you had told me that's really not a big difference. More of his training.
In this athlete, it's not a difference. Like, he's in good a shape now as he probably was 10 years ago, if not better. So I don't think it makes a difference for him. For the average person, yeah, the 25-year-old might do better mentally and physically than someone closer to 40, for sure.
Doc,
not for him.
But for the rehab to start, would that be more of an aquatic type deal? Would they put him in the water to try to get some of the strength back? Because, I mean, you can't stand or you can't really do anything on a treadmill or anything else. The first thing would certainly, to me, seem as though it would be an aquatic deal, that he'd be in water.
I mean, they're going to use every modality they have for him. If he has to have any kind of meniscal work and is going to be non-weight-bearing for, say, the first 6 weeks of his rehab, we have modalities. There's a new, not a new thing, but a pretty popular modality called blood flow restriction, where you put a blood pressure cuff on your thigh, and it allows you to do exercises and keep your muscle tone up while you don't have to put weight on it. So instead of having him go in there and do squats, which he can't do for 6 weeks, they're going to be able to just sit there and let him do non-weight-bearing exercises with this blood pressure cuff on him, and it restricts the blood flow and kind of helps the muscle keep its tone while it's in a non-weight-bearing state. So, and aquatics is great too, because it does the same thing. You're able to eliminate gravity in the water, so you're not putting weight on the recovered knee, but you're allowed to still work your muscles out. So I would think they're going to do, he's going to be in a pool probably daily. He's going to be doing the blood flow restriction, and probably some other stuff too.
Now, I'm going to go on a little different topic, but, when you're dealing with joints, so when you're dealing with shoulders and knees and all that, anywhere where your joints connect, elbow, whatever, you can go on and on. But like Doug Nussmeier, what happened at LSU is like, oh, well, is he coming back?
That looked bad. That really did when I first saw it.
Well, no, Holly Landon and all that, and I don't know what LSU did. And they brought him in, you get x-rays and all that. They could shoot you up, but I guarantee you, Sunday morning, you felt like crap. I've been there. All of a sudden, your adrenaline, and then what you could do, and then the throws he made to Hilton.
That was unreal.
To make a difference. But the one thing I'm telling you, his mom's an A-bear. Let me tell you, people don't like me saying that. I'm telling you, how are your makeup? And what? Because some other player might not have come back. But look what he did when he came back and how efficient he was. Now, again, he's going to have time to rest. But I know I've been there. I mean, he probably woke up Sunday morning feeling like crap. I can't even scratch my ear and all that. But what do you think when you look at Nussmeier, what he was able to do and come back to help LSU beat the damn Sooners? Because I was worried. I was like, I don't know. Damn, and it's kind of tied and all that. But that's a warrior. And I hope he comes back to LSU because he'll give him a chance to win.
When I saw Swan make the first two throws, I'm like, uh-oh, in trouble. Doc, you can answer that.
Yeah.
When you get injured shoulder-wise, and you saw, man, a lot of weight going down on that, my first thought is, this is really bad.
Well,
he was holding his shoulder. I was like, we ain't seen him in this game.
Well, we have the awesome tackle. Well, Will Campbell got his ass whipped. I'm like, and then all of a sudden you kill the quarterback and all that. But, no, when I saw him land on his shoulder, guy, that ain't good.
That looked bad.
But you know what? He didn't give up the ghost.
Yeah.
He came back in there and fight. Oh, I like that a lot.
Doc?
Yeah. When he did the injury, I was actually at the game, and people were sending me videos and stuff and pictures after. And, you know, at the time I was thinking he either dislocated his shoulder where the ball comes out of the socket, and that would have been pretty hard to come back from, or he did a shoulder separation, which is an injury at the AC joint where the collarbone meets the acromion, and that's probably what the injury he had. That happens just like the mechanism. He fell directly on his shoulder. And if you have they probably x-rayed him. If it's a low grade, a lot of times we can get away with injecting him, take the pain away. They get back. And then, like you said, he probably didn't feel too good Sunday morning. I was pretty surprised he came back because most people, when they have an AC separation, it's even the low-grade sprains, they're out 2 to 4 weeks. So I haven't really heard from my sources of what his exact injury was, but man, I was pretty impressed that he came back too.
He's one tough dude, and he showed it. Doc, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate it. Always tell you this. I never get you on with good news. It's always bad, but I do appreciate you giving us a lot of insights on the injury.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All righty. That's Dr. David Elias from Ortho LA.
All right,
we'll
Doc.
Be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guess Show, Mike Dottie along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Let's go back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Chuck B. in Mid-City. Chuck B., you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Man, Bobby and Mike, it's been a minute, I know. First of all, Bobby, I was trying to reach out to you after you had lost your mom, man. And
Chuck B., where you been? Chuck B., you been hanging out in the Virgin Islands or what? I know you're international, so I know you've been everywhere.
You know, a lot's been going on, man, but we'll catch up again. But listen, I'm going to be real brief. I was listening on yesterday, and so I was going to make the same point. So I got 2 points that I'm making. One, in terms of the type of player that Taysom Hill is, if you had 6 of him, 3 on offense and 3 on defense, you could build a whole team and win a Super Bowl with that type of player. It's not where you get drafted, but it's how you draft a player. So going to my second point, which is about the leadership of this team, not necessarily just at the coaching level, but you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? They draft behind the Saints every year. Why? Because they win every year. So they're not in that lower position. So they have to draft behind the Saints. Yet, they can always build out a roster that has not just players, but playmakers, guys who can contribute in different ways. And the understanding of how to use these guys, they know where to find them or whatever. Why can't we have that level of success? Unfortunately, it's just like the Dallas Cowboys. The owner, I'm not saying Gail Benson is the problem, but Jerry Jones and how he operates, he's the reason why they continue to have, you know, not to be able to go all the way to the end, right? We've got some issues at the top, man, that prevent us from getting the kind of roster.
No, when you think about it, look at different markets. Like, look right now how the major markets – not all of them, because the Rams and the Chargers, they still have a chance in L.A. But look how the Bears, Giants, and the Jets suck. They're terrible. The NFL, in theory,
the Cowboys, that's a major market, too.
Yeah, but it's still not New York, Chicago, or Los Angeles. It's kind of like Houston, Dallas. But it's America's team. Or they want to be America's team.
Yes.
Yeah. But when I look at it, that's why there's no reason – how you cannot respect the Pittsburgh Steelers and what they've done and the stability they bring year in and year out. And look how they're always relevant. I don't know if you Coach Tomlin, you look at the few coaches they've actually had, and they don't have to make coaching changes because you always have 6, 7, 8 coaches get fired. Look at the damn Bears. We're watching on Thanksgiving. Eberflus, whatever. What the hell were they doing at the end?
I have no idea.
You're talking about clock management. That is like he had no clue what to do. So when I look at the Saints, the poster child should be like, can we be year in and year out like the Steelers? And aren't really, now, the Steelers ain't won nothing since Ben Roethlisberger, right?
Correct.
But aren't the Steelers always relevant
in the hunt?
In the hunt. Right. So I think that's what we have to expect from the Saints. Can we be that kind of franchise? Because that's when I look at it. Okay, who's in, who's not, and all that. Mike, you know, let Russ cook and all that garbage and all when you say that. But when you look at, okay, what have you done for me lately? All I know, he's produced. hey, look, okay, you might want the young cat to work out. Justin Fields.
But he can't play like Russ can.
It, damn right.
He can't
You're
do
damn
it today.
Right. He might be able to do a little more plays with his feet and all that. Justin Fields, come on, he ain't on Russell Wilson's level.
No, I agree.
I mean, and you know what? Coach Tomlin, you got to give him a lot of credit. He acknowledged that. We're just trying to win as a team. And then you kind of pass the baton. And then look what Russell Wilson has done for the Steelers. No, and they always have an awesome defense. It's amazing. The Steelers, to me.
They bat to the bone on defense.
A small market. If you look at Pittsburgh, it's not New York and all that. That's the poster child. Whether you Jacksonville, the Saints, whatever, the Tennessee Titans, you should want to be like the damn Steelers because the Steelers are always relevant.
The thing with it is, Chuck B., and Jim Finks told me this many years ago, and I still think about it, especially when I was doing the draft book. Don't fall in love with the athlete. Fall in love with the football player.
Right.
And I think today, that's still relevant. You got guys, they picking them because they're the right size, speed, power. The big question is, can they play football?
Right. Are they a football player?
And that sometimes gets lost in the translation.
They might be great at the combine, but can they play football?
Yeah, that ain't no game.
All that. You know what? You know I'm on the bandwagon with, because it's not New York, how can you not cheer for the Buffalo Bills? Like Chris Berman said, no one circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. That ain't New York City. That ain't the damn Giants or the Jets. That is Buffalo. Come on. Yankees that are just like us, like the Lions. The Lions and the Bills, how can you not cheer for them? They're just like us, but they're from the North. I mean, they're the same people, I'm telling you.
We'll be back with more second guests right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in hour number one of the second guest show, Mike DeTay along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bob, a little good news. Darren Rizzi said this afternoon that he thinks there's a pretty good chance that Eric McCoy and Lucas Patrick could be back this week when they play the Giants.
Well, we need Eric McCoy back going against the Giants. The Giants are sorry. We need to whip the damn Giants.
And they've lost their best player in Dexter Lawrence, who dislocated his elbow. Man, that dude could play.
I don't care if you're playing at home and on the road. You got to take care of the Giants. And look at McCoy. He's our best offensive line. He's the quarterback at offensive line. We need him back in the fold. And I think that's going to help us score and have success.
We'll be back with more second guests right after this news break.